We have many of our municipalities in the House, but we're still waiting on a couple more. We're sort of, I think what we may start doing now is we may just begin and start a few of the housekeeping items, and then one or two more people may end up drifting in. Welcome everyone to the March 2013 Sawmill River Watershed Advisory Board meeting. I'm Mary Jane Shimsky. I'm acting as chair today, and with us are
Officer Lieutenant Newcastle, Deputy Town Engineer.
Anne Marie Mitroff, Sawmill River Coalition, and representing Dobbs Ferry.
Hernani De Almeida, Town of Greenberg, Engineering Department.
Nancy Zhu, New York State Thruway.
Lawrence Lee, Belgium Elmser, Stormwater Management.
Janice Morris, New York State Senator, Andrea Stewart Cousins.
Great. Thank you so much for coming, everybody. We're still waiting on a couple people. I know that both Yonkers and Ardsley have RSVP'd. Yes, there may be a little confusion because we were kicked out of our usual meeting room today. There's a special government operations and legislation joint meeting, so we are in the library down the hall. Are we audio taping this?
Yes, we
okay,
are.
Very good. So let's get started. First of all, we've had some considerable precipitation in the last since we last met, and in the last several days, actually. Do any of our representatives or DOT have anything to report in terms of flooding, concerns about melting snow, blockages in the river or culverts or anything of the sort?
Any question for the thruway?
Okay, well.
Since she's here. We spotted her 119. In Elmsford on Route 119, the ramp by the BP where the big Paul Bunyan is. There's a big statue. Mm-hmm. It's the ramp to go north. They did some improvements there, and they have a swale that comes down, and they have a grate there where the water's supposed to go into, but it's overshooting it, and it's coming down into Route 9A.
Oh, yeah. You mean because whatever we're doing there now, which caused this problem, right?
Well, they try to correct it, but where the water's supposed to go, It's hitting the grate, but it's also overshooting the grate, and it's coming down into Route 9A.
I'm sure you have the right spot, because that guy with the Paul Bunyan guy, mm-hmm. He is on 9A, down by the 287,
right,
which was east and west.
Right, but that's 287 is part of the thruway system, right?
Yeah. Are you talking about the other one, the other gas station by the Sawmill River?
No. This is, they...
It's actually not 119, it's 9A.
Right, 9A.
We said 119.
Okay. 9A. Uh-huh. And it's just shooting right down there.
Which ramp of the thruway?
It's the thruway ramp to go north to the TZ or south on 87.
He described it perfectly. It's exit. How about this? When you get off exit 2 on the 287, directly in front of you. Directly in front of you.
Right.
The on ramp. As soon as you get off, there's an on ramp across the street from you. Uh-huh. That's what he's talking about, that on ramp, right?
Okay.
Exit
ramp on 287, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we're going to take
but
a look
there. The exit 2 is just a point of reference. He's talking about across the street from the exit.
Across the street from the exit.
Yeah. Right, to get on.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to take a look at it.
Sandra's still there?
Yeah.
We're still here, but it's really breaking up.
There was an incoming call. Hopefully it will restabilize.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I was also going to suggest that it's I heard a couple of state highways here and there mentioned.
I'd probably do that. This is Anne Marie at the Sawmill River Coalition, and we worked, there's several days that we've been working on vine cutting, and there are several sort of piles from the trees that we want to make sure that I can work with you or the county on getting out of the way so they don't end up in the river.
Okay.
Yeah.
Send me those locations,
right,
and I'll send them on to Shaheed, and if he has time, we can get to it. Hopefully he will.
Yeah, yeah, they're pretty accessible.
Okay. All right. We have been joined by Lorraine Kuhn from Ardsley. At this point, we had several agenda items talking about the various projects, you know, what our wish list is. If people have any further thoughts on the viability of IMAs, or whether people should try to go it alone on some of these, you know, some of them are larger in scope than others, and a discussion of how we might want to rejigger the county stormwater remediation program. First of all, just to make sure that we've got it from the last meeting, and we do have meeting minutes, which I suppose we should circulate around. The number of projects that the potential projects that the local governments were talking about.
Oh, no, I don't either. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Starting from the headwaters on down was a retention basin near downtown Chappaqua in Newcastle. Mount Pleasant, we've got a major project will be needed in the vicinity of Marble Avenue. Of course, we're talking about a fairly high cost project, and we may also be talking about something which is going to perhaps have to be led by the state, since that's right along the highway and DOT right of way. And there's some cleanup work. Did Joan ever get in touch with you about some work around Broadway and Route 141? Actually, I don't think that is a maintenance issue. We were talking about the possibility of a bridge or a viaduct, which really is a capital issue. So far we're talking about the retention basin in Chappaqua. We're talking about the potentially a bridge or viaduct in the area of Broadway and 141 in Mount Pleasant. We should keep Marble Avenue on the list, I suppose, even though that may end up being above our pay grade, as it were. Elmsford, we're having a growing problem in the Sam's Club area. We may need a something there.
No, I've been concerned about the flooding, like a lot of the isolatedness of a lot of
right.
these issues, because
right.
I'm already seeing it. You know, now we've cleaned debris, and that does one thing. It makes the river faster everywhere. And that's not necessarily a good thing, because it's digging channels deeper, which means it can't use the floodplains it has. So it's kind of like, I'm assuming that we're doing this so that we can actually have an analysis done about where these things might be better, because I am already seeing some digging out in Farragut that I've never seen before, which means the river's going faster there and we're getting undercutting, which means we're losing some trees, which means the banks destabilize. It's sort of like the pins being set up. So it's sort of the analysis. I was thinking that, you know, we really ought to approach this to some extent like Sandy and the way that we've done with Babbitt Court. If we're going to have, if we're worried about flooding, then we ought to look at where we're either don't want things to be flooded, meaning that we need to remove them or we need to heighten them. But we've already screwed up the river so much that it's causing these kinds of things. So, you know, I'm assuming that we're putting these in order and that the hydraulics will be looked at. Because
yes,
it's already
absolutely
changing what's happening.
And well,
we don't always have, you know, Shahid has been great to work with, but even in certain areas when we don't have the DEC riparian folks that need to be involved in that piece of land. I mean, we're trying to plant trees all over the place using free trees, but we need to get those two, you know, in more communication so that we can kind of look at it. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean,
yeah.
We're not talking about going out and doing all this stuff tomorrow. We're talking about
right.
making lists so we can then organize and plan. We need to make sure we have lists of what we've got, what we think we need. And the issue of hydraulics is going to be critical in all of this.
Right.
And we have to talk about what we might want to do as a committee or as a collection of municipalities to perhaps urge county-wide action on that. But for now,
right.
let's just go through, see where the problems, where the identified solutions were. Actually, with the Elmsford, my initial thought was that may be a stream bank stabilization issue. But from the looks of things, there's probably a something that needs to be done there. And then we go down into Ardsley. Yes, and we have...
Hi.
Okay. We have the Bridge Street Plaza area. And we have the Adamant Square area. Nancy Joe from the Thruway Authority, which is partly implicated, I think, as a victim, possibly as a perpetrator as well, is certainly involved in this. So we invited her in today so we could start having a conversation about it, and maybe
right.
from there we'll have to do some offline work.
Right.
But we just want to see, we'll hear from you, Lorraine, and then Nancy can tell us what she has to say at this point, and then we can figure out where to go
I
from there.
I just have a brief update because our village has been trying to do something, especially since we had to close the thruway. That was a very severe event. I talked to
you. You mean doing Sandy, right? Hurricane Sandy?
No, it wasn't from Sandy. It was actually Irene.
Irene?
Yeah.
You can get that much
yeah.
water in the water.
So what's been happening is we did have Army Corps come in, and I think the last time they were there actually was last May. And I spoke to our highway department foreman yesterday just to update. And George County, our village manager, has been pursuing Army Corps because they're the ones who put in the entire facility. Now, some of the history of what's going on in Adamant Square is when the thruway came in, there was an old iron bridge under there at that point in Adamant Square. It's on the map there where
mm-hmm.
the 30-foot is. And for whatever reason, the Corps decided to build around it. And then there was this cement kind of planter lots put on the top, which the garden club loved. And at one time they planted it, but it's been in disrepair for many years, so it could at this point be removed. However, you know, Ardsley's position is that Army Corps put in the thing, and Army Corps should, you know, come up with a remedy. What's in dispute a little bit is whose property that is there, whether that bridge and everything belongs to Ardsley. And the reason I brought this little map is because I was looking at it, and I think Thruway was by for an unrelated issue the other day, and it was said that Thruway is 30 feet to east and west of the thruway is thruway property or thruway jurisdiction.
Really depends on which location you're talking about. We have to go back to check our right-of-way to make sure, because in some location we may have much wider right-of-way and some location much narrower along the road. Yeah, so.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, you know, if it's the 30 foot, because this was measurement was from edge of pavement, which includes the shoulder on the first page. And then the second page is, you know, the aerial view, you can see that it's really from edge of shoulder. Now, your property certainly covers our entire highway department on the west side. That whole building, we are in your right of way, and we have a lease from you. So that's, you know, it's, the building itself is 20 feet, but beyond that it's even more, and that's your right of way. So I'm wondering if it's your, you know, jurisdiction on the other side. And more than anything is to kind of pull you into this and see if you could put some pressure on Army Corps, because you might want to do the same thing. But you may be able to impact them, you know, greater. I don't know the contact person. I could find out from George Calvi, but you know, we have Army Corps contacts, very nice folks that come to these meetings. Because, you know, fortunately we haven't had an event like that again, but it's coming. You know, there's only more water all the time, and it's gonna, and for you to close the thruway is an awful event. So if it's really emanating from that point, and the village is, you know, we'd like to get it fixed there too. Mostly today, I'm just here to say that, one, take a look and see if it's actually your property.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll go back to check. Yeah.
And number
also,
two,
by the way, can you tell me, what's the crossroad on the top here?
This one over here?
Yeah.
That's Ashford Avenue. That's Ashford Avenue, and there's actually the famous Ashford Avenue Bridge, which is another. Which is another issue. Looks like a trussed up elderly person at this point. So, but
I think of it wrapped up like a holiday present.
Yeah. But apparently there was a crossing originally at that spot where they were having trouble at Addyman Square, because the thruway, I love the thruway, I travel on the thruway, but the thruway pretty much plowed through Hornsley and, you know, had to get built. And you know, then we had to do something about keeping the water out of the village, so the Army Corps helped us out. But now there's a little trouble spot there. So one would be to determine whether it's actually your property, maybe it belongs to you. And even whether it does or not, perhaps you could partner with us in getting Army Corps to really make up its mind about it, because we keep trying to chase them down and they haven't really decided.
So what do you think really caused this problem at this point? I mean, have you already kind of like investigate or feel what's the real cause of this problem?
Archley doesn't even have a village engineer. So that's the first thing. And we have a small highway force, and they neither can really diagnose it nor really fix it. And the second thing is, you know, we feel that Army Corps put in this facility, which is good. You know, it saves us. We have that wall there. But we really think that they should be the ones to undertake some remedy. And I think that they're willing to, but I think that they're trying to decide at this point. There's a little hold up about what kind of permissions they need.
Did you find the old reports that Army Corps had designed years ago might give you some enlightenment?
Well, you know, there's stuff, and it's fine. You could have your old information, and I'm sure they have their old information, but we're trying to get them to move forward with it. And they're still looking into it. So maybe if we could bring
this jurisdictional, it's like, you know, the Corps has the marching orders from Congress.
Well, I think it's
right. So and now it's all done, but
you don't want to have to
it's
close.
It's not like you have people that can go and even look at those reports. Like
right.
Well, but you don't want to have to close the thruway again.
But I think I think it may be fruitful to get Congressman Engel's office involved in this and act as an help act as an advocate for us.
Yeah.
I mean a certain amount of this we might be able to have one of his staff members invited here next time, or if you want, between us, Ardsley, the Thruway Authority, and my office, if you want us to get involved, I mean, we can try to set up a meeting with someone in Engel's office.
I also think that one of the things that when the Corps met with us, whenever that was, 6 months, 8 months ago, they were talking about, I mean, one of the programs that they now have, which is sort of different than the way most Army Corps projects run through, is they have a certain number of sort of consultant hours that they can give to people. And so the question would be is how is that allocated? Because that might be the reason to get Engel involved. That might be a way to do something.
Well, this is good, but again, you were coming. So I feared I'd show you this.
Yeah,
so you might want to look into it, because I think the more parties involved might be the
better. Yeah, but Thruway can only do so much within our right of way. Yeah, we will try our best to help, but we can only do whatever we have to do within
our
right of way.
I don't know that I'm asking you even to do actual work, but maybe to look into whether this belongs to you. And you can go to the Army Corps and say...
Or we can all go together.
Yes.
Well, the other thing is it closes the thruway. So your interest, whether it's your right of way, is that you don't want to close the thruway.
Right.
And that's what happened.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's where the pressure should be on your part, is more...
Yeah, I think the village with the thruway authority together going to the federal level... and saying, we need someone to take a look and resolve this and figure out what has to be done, would be very helpful.
So far, nobody has contacted them or...
They've looked at it. And
yeah, the village had over the course of a couple of years, but, you know, this is a bit of concern to the village, because isn't this connected to the sinkhole?
Sinkhole, yeah.
In Adiman Square.
Which I think they threw a bunch of junk into just... filled it up for the time being to take care of, I think, the parking lot problem, but that's not going to help if we get
and that's
more
only a short-term
water
fix.
Going through, so.
Yeah. So if your people, an offline meeting is probably might be helpful here. Why don't we all exchange emails later on today? And we could talk about what we might be able to do together to help each other. And then we could go perhaps to Congressman Engel's office and they could help all of us negotiate
I guess in the village, you're supposed to have kind of a property boundary, all this kind of information, right?
But the thruway owns a certain amount.
I mean, but within your village, you're supposed to have...
Well, you know, we're pretty sure about the west side, because we know that we lease that property from you for the highway department, also for our salt shed, which is just south, because I built the salt shed, pretty much, and I had to get a modification.
Exactly, she was out there.
George would give her a shovel.
Yeah, I would have. We had to modify the lease from you when we did that, and you were, you know, fully involved in the process on the west side, and the east side. The east side is usually quieter because north of there is Macy Park. And the county takes care of that, and you know, it's not so much of an issue. And south of there, you start to veer off. I mean, you're also next to our Bridge Street Plaza, but that's another matter. this matter is more significant because this, I think,
this is the water location?
Is where the water came in.
Okay.
That's where the flooding came from. That's what I'm told. So when you had it closed, it was rushing from there. I mean, Bridge Street kind of flowed over, but that was a big source. So, and it looks like it's probably yours unless you draw it a different way. So, but even if it's not yours, it's
we're willing to help if we can be of any sort of help, but. I think maybe first of all, if you have a boundary map, we should identify which part of the land belongs to who. Then we further identify where maybe the problem, whose responsibility. By working this way, it's like more clear instead of just say, "Oh, we want to resolve that." Because everybody, like, for example,
right.
Army Corps. Or throughway, we certainly, like, everybody has a limit. You can only walk within your right of way. You cannot cause other people's problem. Yeah, that's a problem. I mean, we can walk together, but still, when it's coming to who owns that, only that organization can walk on their property.
Well, ultimately, I think we want Army Corps to take care of it in any case. You probably would be just as happy for that to happen, too.
I know that's where they That's where I focus.
So it's, you know, it's more a question of trying to get another group, even a bigger group, which is the Thruway, to say, hey, Army Corps,
which is very
let's get something done at this point.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah.
I will go back and discuss with people in the
sure
office, because some people may have
more
knowledge about the historical problem in this area than me, so.
All right.
Yeah,
okay.
It would be interesting to see if it's within your right of way or not, but certainly it's certainly 30 feet. So.
Yeah, we've had kind of parallel conversations going on. Do we have the documents, the old plans or whatever, that will give us a clear picture of who owns what in the area? Okay, so I suppose step one is to check that, and if the village has them and can share them with the Thruway Authority through Nancy, then we can figure out where the potential problems are. And if indeed, as seems to be the case, it is largely an Army Corps issue, then it'll be easier to make plans to go together to the Army Corps and say, help. Either that or you broke it, you fix it. So if we could get that done offline, that's probably the next step there. I have a follow-up question about the Bridge Street area, Lorraine, because in light of what's going on upstream in Elmsport, what was the nature of the flood protection effort?
It's mostly private. So, for instance, Riviera Bakehouse has built a whole new wall and kind of collection area, and they've as best as possible, they've waterproofed. They have what's called, they call it the submarine door. They've waterproofed their under area. The other guys, Stagioni, had sandbags, and it was private. And I think Lucy Auto Body just takes some water in their garage, and they seem to, so to speak, weather it.
All the fluids.
Which is the other issue that Lorraine brought up last time. Do we have a sense as to what is going on at the river?
I think it's just the floodplain. It's just they're kind of in there. A couple of those have been there a while. The Doctors United building was built relatively recently and built up.
Although that's still been there for a while.
Yeah, it's built up, but the flooding has been getting higher all the time. So what used to be good, when did they build? 10, 15 years ago, is not as good now. And mostly it's been private efforts on the part of all the business owners in there to try and protect themselves a little bit.
Yeah, well, an interesting piece of information was I ended up doing a tour a couple Saturday mornings ago of sections of the Bronx River, which have been experiencing problems. And it's all anecdotal, and we all know how different disciplines downgrade the importance of anecdotal stuff. But basically what I was hearing from the Homeowners Association down there is that their problems started getting worse at the time of the nor'easter of 2007, which is when things started getting worse along the sawmill. So I think if both places are getting worse at the same time, there definitely are factors, outside factors, beyond our control that we'll either have to deal with or cope with. So that I found an interesting piece of information, but the fact of the matter is, if we don't have the money to buy everybody out of the floodplain at this point, so we have to decide how it is we're going to learn how to cope, how we're going to cope with this. The hydrology plays an issue, but before we get to the hydrology, I just wanted to mention that the last substantive thing we got was an unused weir down in Yonkers in the Nepperhan area that is taking up space in the river bed area.
That's very low. Now, is that the one that's by Sawmill River Road and Ashburton, or is this the one that
near Executive Boulevard? It's the one that Paul mentioned last.
It's submerged, though, right?
Yes.
So I don't know if you can see it. That's what he said.
Yeah.
Well, but what's? I mean,
and of course, Paul's not here to.
Yeah. No.
Dependent. Yeah.
Well, the whole problem there, of course, is they channelize so much of that lower end through Alexander Street and everything. I doubt it's just the weir. I mean, right there is where it starts being channelized, so the whole river gets, from being able to spill out, it gets channelized into a concrete channel. So I'm not sure that the weir is doing much more than the concrete channel. It's just taking a river and putting it in something like that, which is going to impede the flow behind it. Because it's just all there through that flood control
project. Well, indeed, behind, north of Executive Boulevard, there have been houses in Hastings that have had problems over the years.
Right. No, I know what you're... I'm not... Actually, the biggest... One of the fixes for the whole thing is to get our gauges back. Because if we don't know the flow difference, I mean... And the backup to our stormwater, if we can put some teeth behind our stormwater management in large developments. I mean, I don't know, really, we could have done better at River Town School. We may still be able to do a little bit better.
I think
we can. For instance, that project will make a difference. I think everybody understands that. What we could have put there in advance, or have the developer put there in advance, might actually be zero discharge into the sawmill. Should be.
Well, that's supposedly required by the state.
Yeah, but it's not in this case because of redevelopment.
Oh, it's not required for redevelopment, it's just required for new development?
They can meet what the property meant before, which still puts a lot of water.
The grandfathered back, really?
It won't be able to cut down.
I'm just saying that the whole area...
Hundreds of trees.
For putting in millions of dollars to fix, we ought to really make sure that... Of this is the intermunicipal development, municipal agreement, and sort of those things I think would be really helpful. We got to a point a few years ago with some of the stormwater management roundtables where I think people were willing from the different communities to say we ought to have this sort of regular set of standards for all of them that might really give planning boards assistance in holding the line and requirements. That's one of the ways. I mean, I know that's kind of jumping away from where
we have to have willing doors, so I think the dog's very bored.
Well, I think it would have been more helpful to have a strong, unified front from the villages that said, this is what we need to do. And then give that to the developers to say, this is the standard you have to meet. That's what I'm saying. It's very hard for individual board members who really have no background necessarily on a lot of this stuff to say that this is the set of standards that might be needed.
Right. One
quick point that while we're backing up the river from Yonkers, we missed a spot. With all due respect, Hastings, the Ginsburg project is once again afoot at Sivagaigi, and it's moved back to the planning board, and they are again talking about underground parking, which is not any more logical.
For the affordable housing, not for the market rate housing.
Okay. But I was there, and I pointed out again that it's not really any better to dig a big hole out under the ground where the water can't go anymore than it is to make more impervious surface. You're still losing the opportunity to infiltrate.
And it's right above a wetland that Army Corps pointed out could be restored and might contain more water. So those are the things that we're missing. Right. Like you talked about these pieces of this history here. There was a little bit of research done on the reconnaissance report, and these are being lost.
The thing with Hastings is it does seem that their thrust is really strongly to get some affordable housing, and their flood concerns don't seem as high on the agenda. And this is with apologies to this lovely Hastings person over there. But I think, unfortunately, that's true. And it's just going to exacerbate things.
Well, one of the big issues that, is the 600-pound gorilla in the room, is that a certain amount of our problems lie not in the stars, they lie with ourselves. And the more development a municipality brings in, the more likely you are to have increased stormwater management problems, especially if opportunities are missed or things are ignored to sort of fly through the environmental review process. And when we talk about joint action, one of the things we have to talk, Anne-Marie made an interesting point about maybe an IMA could serve a purpose other than construction, that maybe we could design an IMA that would be a clearinghouse of information or expertise on these issues that each of the municipalities along the basin could draw in upon. And that might be a good way to have some of the state-of-the-art knowledge filter through our local boards a little bit better.
Well, and I mean, here's another idea, and it might be through the IMA or through working with Andrea and the other legislators at the state and federal level, is that the model that we did for the daylighting, which I think is being lost by federal and state, that really worked, is the habitat plan was paid for by EPA separately than the engineering and landscape design, which the city went out to bid for. And of course, they're going to go for the lowest bid that's qualified, which doesn't necessarily put in what you need in the way of habitat, doesn't protect that. Because an engineering firm is not going to go out and pay for that separately, and they don't have usually the people on their team to do that. So I've always thought with the stormwater issues for all of our villages, it's almost like we need the same thing. We need the same thing to pay for a very highly qualified stormwater management, flood hydraulics people for these developers, because the developers won't necessarily pay for it. But if we could, in the way of grants or whatever, focus some of the monies that the state has
to help in that area, that is a requirement that the engineering firm works with or the development firm works with, we'd get better projects, because then we'd be on the front end of saying, this is how you do it. And the engineering firm would say, great, I'll take the plan. And there wouldn't be as much dissension over what it is we're doing. I don't know whether that's even reasonable, but that to me is where the rubber hits the road, is when you go back and they've already designed it and asked for more, it's only big money that we're starting to talk about. That's what shies away trustees from making changes. The whole nine yards is that they need the development, but they don't want to, they don't, they, anyway.
Well, one of the things that we've been I mentioned last week, and that I'm trying to get people on this floor interested in and people interested on the countywide swab level, is we have, as part of the flood legislation that created this committee, there was an appropriation of, I believe it was upwards of $50 million over the course of a number of years to be used on flood control projects within the county. The way that legislation was structured, that was passed in 2011, was to require matching funds from the local governments. Now, obviously, I don't need the rest of our local governments to know that the local governments can't afford this at this point. The margins are too narrow. With the tax cap, they can't even afford to keep what they're doing, let alone adding big new projects. What I've started to think about, and I'm trying to get people's ears on, is to revise that legislation, to use those monies to develop, to reconstruct our county-wide hydrology, to bring back our stream gauges, our other measurements, and get real solid state-of-the-art information gathering tools in place so that we have the information we need as to what's happening where, and when something happens in X, so we can model when something happens in X place, what happens in Y, and that will help us fine-tune our plans. I mean, you have to start somewhere. So the idea that we went from the top of the watershed down to the border with the Bronx, and we have some tentative idea of where the problems are and what might be done, but they need to be tested. We don't have the means for testing them on the ground. We don't have the money as local governments to do it, but there's this other money that's going to go untapped because we don't have money. And it seems to me that a legislative fix on the county level to take some of that money and start putting that infrastructure back into place would be a good use of our money. And then our watersheds are somewhere in terms of having a more complete basin-wide understanding of what the impacts of everything are, what the impacts of a hypothetical solution would be, and then we can really look and see where we are in an intelligent way. I noticed that I'm just reading through the draft reconnaissance plan for the Bronx River now. I've got a meeting at 3, and I've got to make sure I finish it up by then. I know they have more tangible recommendations than they did in our plan. Our plan, they had Brady Avenue, which even by what the town supervisor of Mount Pleasant said last time, may or may not be necessary, given what's been going on with the maintenance work and if there's a little bit more cooperation with the MTA. But they've included the same language in the Bronx report as well as our report, that we really do need a more comprehensive information gathering so we can do better hydrological modeling and actually see what's going on, where it's going on, and what's going to work. You know, as long as we're going to have people in the river basin, and we are because we can't afford to buy everybody out, we are going to have to, we can't let the river naturally silt itself up as if we were out in Lewis and Clark country. We're going to have to find some, we are going to have to find some artificial ways to do it, but we have to be mindful of the laws of nature.
Every time we change it.
Of the nature that when you change it, something is going to happen somewhere else, and you have to be able to take that into account. The other thing we have to take into account is maybe our best flood control is more trees.
Well, exactly.
The right trees planted in the right places
right.
is going to have to be part of the solution. We have to reforest it.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way to soak up some of this
stuff.
I've been
checking on getting trees, and I was looking at the mean tree in New York City that Bloomberg did, and he had the help of course, of some philanthropists and movie stars with extra money stuff. So I took a list of all the movie stars we had in Westchester County.
Yeah, and we have a lot.
We have a lot of them.
But really, we have so much place. I mean, really, the trees are are really critical to the plan. But the plan should actually be
a plan that will stabilize the ground in which you're planting the trees, which means
a certain type of tree.
Which means riverbed riverbank stabilization.
Well, but it's really
is going
to have to be part of the people that we need. We just have to have them in the same room.
Yeah.
I mean, the DEC, there's the whole side of the house that's riparian buffers.
Right.
You know, the whole side of the house that's stormwater management. And we really we have those people.
Because it's going since we're in a combination natural and artificial environment, it's going to take a combination of natural and artificial solutions.
Anyway, I think, Anne-Marie.
Thank you so much. It was good seeing you. We'll keep in touch.
Okay, bye.
What I think I would like to do is I really would like to push this idea forward of amending our legislation to use our resources to start building up our hydrology again. I think what we may do is instead of pulling people in for a live vote, what I would really like to do, and hopefully we can get an email out in the next several days. I have a bunch of other fires going on in my office as well at this point, as I'm sure you all do. But what I'd like to do is get a sense of our municipalities that they would like the county to do that, because if I could go back and I can say this collection of communities thinks that this is probably the best way that the best use we can make of the county and its resources right now, it will help me build up the support I need to have that happen, hopefully not too far down the road. The sense of the people in this room, does that make sense to you? Does that not make sense to you?
For us it does, because we don't even have an engineer. That's first. And second, the sawmill is way behind the Bronx River in terms of having any kind of technical support or study.
Yeah.
So I think even Rob Dosher would be happy with something like that.
Yeah.
I think they always intended to move on.
Right. You go talk to your people. What's your initial thought?
I haven't been in too many of these meetings. It's something different from my town comes every single time almost. I've been to about three of these. And it seems that you pull out the gamut of everything. You bring in political people into this, and you bring their engineers into it, and some municipalities who happen to have engineers are fortunate enough to have engineers. But I wonder, in any of these meetings, has anyone decided to hire a hydrologic engineer to come in and say, look, this is our problem? What's, not to hold
you
to anything, what do you think?
Well, the problem
not so, even before you get to the lack of engineer, we don't have data for the hydrologists to analyze in large
There is quite a bit of data, actually. Leonard Jackson, as you may know, did that long study on the entire Sawmill River, mapping out the flood basin for FEMA. Now, they know what the tributary area for that river basin is.
Right.
And you also can assume what the impervious area, with pretty good accuracy, is in that area. You just basically take the zoning codes, find out what the maximum allowed impervious area for those zones are. Assume that you're not going to get that maximum on every single property, maybe about 75% of them. And for that acreage, tributary. And now you have a number that doesn't exist now, but is possible to be existing in the future with all the building up that everybody's talking about and is afraid of happening. See what the effects of those impervious areas runoffs are to the stream, and see how far that goes. And then identify critical points along the stream that could be perhaps bought up. Not the entire floodplain, obviously, like you said, the money just don't exist for that. But maybe certain key areas. Undevelop those developed areas. And perhaps put in some mitigation measures. An overflow pond, an overflow basin that floods just during a flood occurrence, takes on some of that volume, and then releases it after the event. I think I have some background in hydraulic engineering. I did my master's, taking some of those courses. My bachelor's had a lot of environmental stuff in there, including the structural stuff. But anyways, and I've done some stormwater engineering for quite a bit of my career. And trees are a great way to bring down the water table. But when you have a storm event, you have to look at the 24-hour period. And trees aren't going to do anything for you in the 24-hour period. So if you want to mitigate the floodplain, usually the simplest solution is the best solution, the dredging. Getting the water out of there as fast as possible. Moving that water. It's a good thing when the water is moving faster. It's a very good thing. So you're not giving it time to build up. The faster you can get it out to the Hudson or to wherever it outfalls, the better. And then if you can't move as fast as it could, that balance, maybe along the Sawmill River, 10, 12 key places, that's where you put in your overflow areas. And those are the properties you buy out.
Well, how do you determine where those 10 or 12 areas are?
Again, you do a topographic, which the county has a great topo on their GIS that was over flyover that Wonder Jackson probably utilized to figure out their model of the Soma River or something to that effect. And
how old is that, by the way?
It's a good question. I think it was done in the 80s. Certainly,
yeah, because 30 years down the road, we've had changes.
But topography generally will stay the same. You may have to do the topo in the floodplain and maybe a little bit beyond that, like let's say 100 feet or so. You're picking an arbitrary number, but you want to pick a safe arbitrary number. So maybe 100 to 500 feet beyond the existing floodplain boundary, you want to get a more accurate topo because that's what's going to affect that's collecting the water. And then they'd run their model based on the topography. They have headgrass models. The engineers here know what I'm talking about. And the software will show you where the worst flooding areas is. And then in the same model, you can just say, you know what? What if I put a depression here? And they put that depression artificially in the model. And you run the model again. And then you just keep on doing that.
Sounds like you agree with her, and if we had the money, maybe we could hire you to do it.
Well,
but
no,
that's the step before. You're kind of at, like, yeah, we can do this, can do this.
Well, with the money that's already allotted.
Right, but the thing is, it's got to be transferred for use. It's allotted, but it's actually not available without a match.
Right. But
Greenberg liked the idea they would have to come up with some cash to do
it.
And what Representative Shinsky wants to do is say, hey, we could use this. How about if you let us just spend for it without having to ask everybody to give money? Because it sounds like you support it.
Well, I think what's important is to come up with a comprehensive plan.
Yeah.
You go to the hydraulic engineer, you say, this is the problem we have, obviously, the Somme River is flooding. Assume the worst case scenario, everybody's built up. Let's look 50 years into the future, or 10 years, God knows how the economy goes. And then we'll build for that. We'll build for the worst case scenario. Come up with a plan, a comprehensive plan on what needs to be done and where the critical areas are. And then we take it from there. It's not going to take $50 million to come up with that comprehensive plan.
No, it won't.
It probably won't even come up with 10% of that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure for less than $1 million, you could probably come up with a very comprehensive plan from an engineering firm that has a great experience doing it. And probably the Army Corps of Engineers, once the plan is done, once the comprehensive plan is done, then you could go to the Army Corps of Engineers and solicit them for monies or assistance. Because their big thing, I have friends in the Army Corps that, old college buddies, we all went our own ways, and I have contact with them on a regular basis. They have gotten to the point where they only get involved in projects that are to that point.
Yep.
If you haven't gotten to that point, they don't want to talk to you because they have other shovel-ready projects ready to go that need their assistance. So, and as you know, everybody talks about the economic situation of all bodies of government are not the greatest. So they're not going to concentrate their efforts, and reasonably so. That's the best management on things that aren't shovel-ready because they have more than enough on their table that they can do right now.
Yeah. So I think that the county does have a role that we can't, and you know, the interesting thing from our point of view is unless people were counting on not spending that money at all, there should not be any opposition to this, because as you pointed out, we're only going to be spending a rather small fraction of what was talked about in toto. But if you're talking about a way for the county to help jumpstart the process and help move it forward, it seems that you need that basic information, because nobody wants, the Army Corps and DEC even doesn't want to approve stuff anymore unless they do have a whole river basin-wide sense of what's going to happen if you try to do A, B, or C.
It's hard to get a municipality to agree to pay 50% of something that they don't know. Like you said, you do something here, okay, fine, we'll pay $1 million of this $2 million project. But that $1 million of that $2 million project is concentrating on a problem spot that may be contrary to the comprehensive plan in the end.
Right, exactly, which is so why you need...
It's a waste of money.
You need... Mm-hmm. You need your data, you need your ability to model along the whole river basin, and then you can run stuff and you can see, you know, like I said, I still think you need some idea going in of what it is you think you want to do. So okay. You have a hypothesis to test once you get your information.
And I think that's like the biggest goal, is get the comprehensive plan as fast as possible. Then when we know what we're dealing with and what the possible solutions are, then we could start talking about, okay, what's everybody involvement is going to be. Maybe nothing has to be done in Elmsford. Maybe nothing has to be done in Ardsley. Maybe everything has to be done in just two or three municipalities. And then those municipalities obviously can't afford taking the brunt of it because those are critical areas, so then everybody chips
right,
in maybe.
Right, but then you go to the other municipalities and you say, this work is being done over here, but it is going to benefit you, and here's the hydrology to prove it.
Exactly, and at that point, then you have something to talk about.
It will also help DOT with their planning as well. Wouldn't it be great if we could figure out something other than a raised causeway to solve the problems in Pleasantville? Are you still there, Sandy?
I don't think so.
Sandra?
Yes.
I think before anyone really wants to commit a lot of money, I think they want, and that makes perfect sense, to make sure we know exactly what's happening, where, and what would happen if certain other assumptions were made. So anyway, the action plan for next time, I think. Well, you two, you get your information to her, and we can start
for what we've got.
we can start talking about that local issue. But the big ask is for people to go back to their municipalities at this point and say, would you be willing to be supportive of moves to change the county legislation that would allow this kind of river basin-wide modeling to be done?
And how much money do I ask the state for?
Let's see. Maybe we'll save the state for the infrastructure.
Okay.
Because the idea is, if we really thought about this as being a countywide issue, bringing together everything to try to figure out solutions on a countywide basis, maybe the county should take step one, get the basic data in place, and then we can go out to all of our partners and say, this is, you know, this is what we think would be involved to fix certain things. But of course, we're going to have to go around this building and see what we might be able to interest people in. I've already started talking about it with some of my colleagues on this floor. They're amenable. They're interested. Folks in planning, you know, seem somewhat receptive, although, of course, we know that they don't make the final decisions for themselves. So, like I said, if we can get the support of our collective of municipalities going forward, that might be useful as we're trying to build support for getting that done here. Does anyone have anything to say about that? Okay, is there anything else we should cover today that we've overlooked? Okay, motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor? All right. All right, thank you very much, everyone. Thank you very much, Sandra. Hope all continues to do well, and we will send you emails about various problems as long as they develop. Lucky you. Okay, thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Yep, certainly.